First Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. I'll just quickly turn there myself. Yes, and in verse 15 he starts off saying, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." So in this particular chapter, Peter is addressing the Christians here in the church. Or actually, in particular, if you read in chapter 1, he's addressing the Christians that were scattered abroad. A lot of the Christians were being persecuted. And they were being persecuted for their faith in Christ. And he's exhorting them, or urging them, to not fear the people, because there's a lot of people trying to persecute them, but to rather fear the Lord God more. And and to always be ready to give an answer or defense for their hope. Now, the word hope in this verse is not only referring to their faith in Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins, but it's more than that. It's also their beliefs that Jesus was coming back to earth to take them to heaven to live with him for all eternity. So it was really their whole Christian faith, if you put it that way. One commentator put the word hope this way. He said, "It's the expectation of resurrection through Jesus unto eternal life and glorification alongside him." So, like I said before, to summarize the word hope would just be our entire Christian faith and all that we believe, not just that Jesus saves us from hell. So he was urging them that they have to be ready to give an answer or defense when people question them about their hope and what they believe. You know, back then a lot of the Christians, like I mentioned, were facing persecution from the people. And they were especially facing persecution from the Pharisees, because they would often accuse the Christians of being like troublemakers or evildoers. If you see in verse 16, he talks about people accusing them of being evil. And basically he's just telling the Christians that when these people come and accuse them of these things, that they need to be ready to give an answer for what they believe. So this morning I want us to see three particular things I believe in this verse we must do if we're going to be ready to give a defense or an answer for our hope as Christians. Because as Christians we each have that hope. So we need to always be ready to give an answer for it. So the first thing I want us to see is that we need to live so others see our hope. Live so others see our hope. He starts off in the verse saying, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. If people are going to see our hope, we need to strive to live a holy life. A holy life. We see in verse 15 there, he says, "Sanctify." The word sanctify means to make holy, or to set apart unto God, or to cleanse. So he's saying, set the Lord God apart as holy in your lives and in your hearts. That very inner part of our being, we need to set God apart. If we look at the context of this passage, you'll actually see that the verse, the word Lord here, when he says Lord God, is actually referring to Jesus, Jehovah. So he's really saying, sanctify the Lord Jesus as Jehovah, very God, in your hearts. And we need to have a great reverence towards God in our hearts and understand that God is a holy God. And therefore, we too must live a holy life and strive to be like Jesus was on this earth. And we must have a great fear and respect towards him, more than we fear people and what they think of us. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 15 to 16, he says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Leviticus 11, chapter 11, verse 44 says, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy." Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13, he says, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread." You know, there are people all around us who watch our lives every day, you know, when we're at work and the places we go, and they watch us. So therefore, we must live a life that is pleasing to God all the time and live a good example before others if we're going to be ready to defend our hope in Christ and what we believe. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You know, people won't see this hope in us if we live a life full of sin and hypocrisy. again, we see in verse 16, he says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Now, the word conversation is referring to their Christian walk. And he's saying you need to live so that others cannot accuse you of being an evildoer, but rather that they should be ashamed if they do accuse you of evil. You know, as Christians, we must be very careful how we behave ourselves around others. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 to 14 says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions of the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. You know, we must cast off, he says, the works of darkness. Cast off that sin that is in our lives, and we must put on the armor of light. Romans 12, verse 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, we must not allow sin to rule our lives and make us do things we don't want to do and yield to sin. We must yield to God. If we know there's sin in our lives, we must admit it and we must cast it off. We need to do this so we can live a godly a godly example before others, and that they might see our hope and that they might see Jesus in our lives. But not only must we live a holy life, but we must also strive to live a hope-filled life. A hope-filled life. And as Christians, we have a glorious hope, a confident expectation that Jesus forgave our sins and saved us from the lake of fire, and that one day he's coming back to take all the Christians to heaven. And we have a confident expectation in that. And we see, and we need to let this hope show in our lives all the time. But oftentimes, as most of you know, life gets busy and we don't live much of a holy or hope-filled life. You know, we get distracted with the pleasures of this world. We get distracted by our burdens and cares. That's always a big one. We get distracted with work. And you know, life is full of distractions. It's full of distractions. And the devil will use all kinds of things to get our attention off what's actually important in life. And we need to take time to be holy. We often sing that song, take time to be holy. And I just wanted to read verse 2 of that one. It says, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. And I thought that went really well with what I was trying to get across here. And we need to just remember why we're here on earth. It's always good to just step back and remember, why are we here? What are we living for? We are here to serve God and live for his glory. We see in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We also to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's a really good verse. If we are living for ourselves, if we're living for ourselves, others won't see that hope in us. And they won't see Jesus. They won't see a new life. And they won't see a hopeful future. They'll just see our fleshly desires. And they'll just see the world. They'll just see the world. And this world must not look at our lives and just see us as another average worldly person. But rather they may see something different in us when they see us. Philippians 1 verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul was saying this verse. He was saying, for me to live is Christ. His whole life was about Christ. And if he died, then he's going to heaven anyway. So he had much to gain. And we need to live like that. We need to live that hope. So if we're going to be ready to defend a hope, we need to live that hope. And remember, faith in Jesus means separation from this world. It's not friends with this world. Secondly, I want us to see that if we're going to be ready to give a defense of our hope, we need to also study. Study so you can explain your hope. Study so you can explain your hope. You see again in verse 15 there, he says, and be ready. Particularly to give an answer, but he's saying, be ready. Be ready. Know why you believe in your hope. Know why you believe in your hope. You know, many people back in Jesus' day physically saw Jesus. They saw the things he did. They saw the miracles. They saw Jesus dying on the cross. They saw Jesus after he raised from the dead. Right? So many of them could base their faith on what they physically saw. But we don't physically see Jesus today. I mean, we don't see him walking around here doing miracles. Although he can, but he's not walking around here. Because he's in heaven, waiting to return one of these days. But one of the reasons we believe in our hope, one of the things we can base our hope on, is through the Bible, through God's Word. 2 Timothy verse 3 to 16 to 17, chapter 3 verse 16 to 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for reproof, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is the source and the foundation of our faith. Romans 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without the Bible, we don't have too much to base our beliefs on, except what we see around us today. We see God's creation. If you just look outside and open your eyes, you'll see God's creation. We know that Jesus lived on this earth based on what history teaches us. We see the lives that God has changed. That's also another thing. We can see God's hand in people's lives. But thankfully, God did give us his scriptures. Jesus said in John 20, verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and have believed. So Jesus said there's a special blessing for those who believe on him, yet they have not seen him. So our hope is built on a solid foundation, God's word, God's very word. But another reason we believe in our hope is because there is no other hope. It sounds kind of strange to say that, but there is no other hope. Jesus is the only hope, and he is the only way of salvation. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus is the only way for a person to be saved. Very clear. The riches of this world can't save you. Your family can't save you. Your good works can't save you. Jesus is the only one who can forgive your sins and save your soul from hell. But not only must we know why we believe in this hope, but also know what we will say. You know, when people ask us, we need to know what we're going to say. And a way we can do that is to learn the Bible. It sounds pretty basic, but that's so important. We need to learn the Bible. Don't just know the nice stories of the Bible. And there's a lot of good stories in here, but people don't always want to just hear that. We need to know enough so that when people ask us of more complicated questions about our hope and things we believe, we can hopefully be ready to give them an answer or defend what we believe. It's very important. We need to know what the Bible says about God's creation and where everything came from. We need to know why certain things according to the Bible are immoral or ungodly. We see a lot of that today. People think, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. But if God's word says it's wrong, it's wrong. Know what God says about marriage and family. Know what God's word says about the future and things to come. These are all very important things because people will ask us these things and we need to be ready. We need to be ready. They're very important things to know, but, you know, when people ask us questions like this, we do not want to just say, oh, I believe that because, you know, my family believes that or because my pastor teaches that, which those are good things, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but we do need to personally know why we believe these things and be able to give an answer for it. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the God's word is what we need to know when we have to, when we want to give an answer to people. This is what we need to know. Not our opinions or just what we think, but we need to know what God says. And another way we can know what to say is to learn the gospel. Learn the gospel. Now, this is very important. We need to learn the good news that Jesus died for our sins. Learn the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You know, as Christians, we should already know these things, but often we're just not prepared or ready to answer people when they ask us of these things, or we're too scared sometimes. But it's important. It's the most important thing we can learn to say to people. So when others ask us of the hope they see in us, what we live, we can use that as an opportunity to not only defend our hope, but to share Christ with others. Which leads me to my third point this morning. We need to watch for opportunities to share our hope. Watch for opportunities to share our hope. We see there again in verse 15, he says to give an answer to every man. Give an answer to every man. And one of the ways we can give an answer, besides just knowing what God says, which is important, but we can be equipped. Be equipped. And, you know, knowing God's word in our minds is great. But another way we can be ready to defend our hope is to use helpful material. Helpful material. You know, we can use things like tracts. Tracts is a great way we can, you know, if we don't have much time to explain the gospel with somebody, we can give them a tract. And hopefully they can read it and at least have an opportunity to understand what the gospel teaches. We can also use the Bible. The Bible is probably the best, most important thing we can use when we're trying to share Christ with others. And you know, back in the first century, when Peter was still around, they didn't have much scripture to use. You know, they didn't have an entire Bible in their very hand, and often they had to rely on the Holy Spirit's leading to give them the words to say, and only. Sometimes they'd have bits of scripture they can try and use. So it was much harder for them. But like I said, we have God's entire word in our very hands, and yet we often don't share it. And we don't have much of an excuse, I guess, but I'm talking to myself here at this point. It's just something we need to keep in mind. We have God's entire word. And another way we can be equipped as well, and I think this one's important, is to plan our words. We need to plan our words. And I know I don't mean like just have like a written down script to reread, but we need to, in a sense, have a rough outline of what we know we want to tell people. You know, it's important. Learn a clear and simple way to explain your hope. Learn a clear and simple way to explain your hope. It's not complicated, but it will take some work and effort on our part. And then learn things about history and creation and, you know, we can use these things to try and open people's eyes to the truth. And then try and learn common questions people might ask you and learn how you will respond to those questions. You know, this is good because I remember, you know, years ago doing door knocking with Pastor. People would always ask common questions and you'd already kind of have an answer for it. And that's kind of what I mean. It's good to kind of know what people might ask you and be ready to answer it. But not only must we be ready to give an answer to people, but we need to also learn to respond with gentleness, not hostility. We see there at the end of verse 15, he says, we are to give an answer of our hope with meekness and fear. Meekness and fear. You know, as Christians, we're not meant to respond with hostility. We're meant to respond with gentleness and a reverence towards God. We do not want to put people off off this hope. You know, we don't want to just, you know, make people offended and scare them off. We need to use apologetics. Apologetics. Apologetics is the art and science of making a reasonable defense for the Christian faith. It's not the art and science of apologizing or saying sorry for our faith, nor is it making others sorry for our faith. It is simply making our case. Making our case. And let it be done with humility towards other people and with a great reverence and fear towards God. And then lastly, we need to be empowered. We need to be empowered. And I think this is probably one of the most important things. We need to draw closer to God. You know, we're not perfect people. And we often make mistakes. And we must not let sin hinder our walk with God. We read in Psalm 66:18, he says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So God says if we don't confess our sins, he's not going to hear us. And that's not good because we desperately need God's help, desperately need his help. And if we have sin in our lives, we need to do what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just as to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will forgive our sins if we confess it. And then we need to also pray for wisdom and boldness. This is also important. Pray for wisdom and boldness. Pray that God will give you the words to say when you talk to people and the strength to say it. Because often we're scared. And sometimes we really need God's help. And we read as well in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19. I think Paul was talking here and he's saying, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." I pray that God will give you the words and the boldness to share the gospel. And then we need to also pray for the lost. Pray for the lost. You know, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will work in the hearts and lives of those we share the gospel with. We need to pray that for those people we give tracts to, and that the Holy Spirit will use those words to convict their need for him. And then pray that the Holy Spirit will open their eyes to the truth, and that the words will be a seed planted in their heart. And then we need to also pray that God will open doors for us to share the gospel. Pray that it would open up doors. But, you know, often the problem is not that there's not doors open. We just don't want to enter in. And we need to just keep our eyes open and be willing to do it. We must not fear man, but fear God and do what he told us to do in Mark chapter 16, where he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So we saw this morning that we need to first live so others see your hope. We need to live that others see our hope. This is where it all starts. Because if people don't see our hope, if they just see us as them, then they're not going to see it. So it's very important. And the way we can do that is to live a holy life and live a hope-filled life so our light will shine and they would see it in us. And then secondly, we need to study. Study so we can explain our hope. Study so we can explain our hope. Know why we believe in our hope and know what we will say. Be ready to know what we'll say. And then thirdly, we need to watch for opportunities to share our hope. Be equipped. Take tracts with you. Be willing and ready to share these things. But you know, sorry, one second. If you're a Christian here today, then ask yourself these important questions. Ask yourself these questions. Am I living a hope-filled life, or am I living in sin? Do others around me see this hope in me, or do they see it wrong? Am I ready to give an answer or a defense for my hope? Do I know what I will say when people ask me about this hope? And am I equipped and ready to share this hope, or am I careless and focused on myself in life? And these are, as Christians, these are very important questions we must ask ourselves daily, so we can have the right focus in life and remember why we're here. But you know, it really starts by knowing Jesus as your Savior. You know, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have no hope. There is no hope for you, and you have nothing to defend. You just have, there's nothing. The only hope you have is in this world, and this world won't last forever. As humans, we won't live forever. And so ask yourself, if I died today, you know, where will I go? What hope do I have as a person? What hope do I have? So I urge you, if you're a Christian, then strive to be ready always to give an answer of your hope. Strive to be ready to give an answer for your hope, not just so you can defend yourself, but that others would come to Christ through your defense. And that's really what it's all about. And then, but if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior yet, do that today. You know, you too can have this hope. You can have this hope. God wants to help you. He wants to save you. He wants you to have this hope in your life. It's a great thing. It's such a joy. He wants you to have it. But you must humble yourself first and admit your guilt and sin and believe on Jesus Christ to save your soul.